Hello and welcome to our final episode of season two for Songcraft Breaking It Down. It is long awaited, mostly by our listeners, partially by us.
This is the first time we've actually finished a season.
Yeah,
yeah,
it being our second season.
It just come to a drastic end.
Well, it's the first time I've finished a season. These two are one for one.
Yeah.
Currently. So our
that
plan
was ominous.
Our plan for the end of the season is just a little bit of a
I'm looking forward to this because he's not told me or Anthony what on earth this is. We just know it's ending. We know that we're going to do the reviews of the songs we've had written in. That's as far as we know.
Yes. Now, it was cut last week because them two were being toddlers. But
nothing new.
I was going to give them the categories and then they kept speaking over me and making stupid noises, so I decided I wouldn't send them. We're going to be going through some of the best moments from this season. And to be honest, maybe some of the last season, since we didn't do a roundup of the last season either. To be honest, this is just probably a bit of a wind down, bit of fun, bit
or
of crack.
Wind up, depending on whose side of it you're on.
Bit of both.
Possibly, and we'll also do a rundown of how the current Songcraft table looks. That'll probably get posted as well. We'll move into our first category for tonight, once I unlock my phone, and that is favourite moment of the season.
I know what Ethan's is already laughing.
So
I know what Ethan's is.
So, gents, what's your favourite moment of the season? Anthony, we'll take you first.
Well, favourite moment of the season. I'm just going to flick back through Spotify to see what songs we've actually reviewed.
That's what I'm doing.
I've said a lot of things on this podcast.
It's really hard to choose. Anthony's saying yeah. He knows exactly what I'm going to choose, which is really impressive. I don't have a clue. Like, there's been so much fun throughout this, but all of it has been left in. And that's the one thing, like, that's going through my mind. All the things that I don't know if they've been left into the podcast.
Just say it anyway.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Yeah.
Like, I was trying to listen to it. I didn't actually realize how many hours worth of stuff we'd recorded. So I was trying to listen through it today and I got through two episodes.
Yeah. I think another highlight was when we had our guest on by the name of Ruben.
Yes.
That was there a whole... Was probably... that was... A train.
A lot of maybe seven words that were said. And most of them were, I like this song because I like it.
See, the thing,
and I like this bit too.
The thing with Ruben's episode was that he had a false start immediately because he chose a song that had nothing written about it. So he couldn't even like pretend that he knew something about the song by reading something off of Wikipedia, song facts, song meanings. He literally just went, oh yeah, we'll do Step Up by Mailing the Sun to Disaster, and there's literally nothing on that song online other than the lyrics.
You look them up and it tells you more about the band, the gangsters, the band were named after.
The mob bosses.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing with an episode like that and a song like that is that it puts quite a challenge on me, Anthony, and Ethan. Having a guest who doesn't really know an awful lot about music, sorry, Ruben, it's true, didn't really help his case, to be honest.
It really didn't. At least we had the ability to improv from memory.
Yeah. The other funny bit of that episode that I always come back to is the fact that it's not really Ruben's choice in my head. It was always Ethan's choice.
Yeah.
It wasn't. I never told him to choose that. I didn't like the song as much as he did. I showed him. But then again, I could say that many of the songs that I know and enjoy have come from either you showing me them or Anthony reminding me of them. One group I really took off, like Anthony reminded me of them. It was Jefferson Starship, and then I just went, I have not listened to these guys in so long. Went in and just thought, yep, I missed this phase. And that's another, like, it's a different reason it's a highlight, but when you lads both came up here,
like, oh, the episode
podcast episodes that never got recorded,
Yes, that was a really...
Like, that was...
Yeah, the unrecorded what a evening that was.
I was spent the whole day thinking, how am I going to do this? How am I going to organize this? How am I going to get the laptop to not, like, run too loud? How am I going to get the microphone set up properly? All this. Got there, and we were up until 2 o'clock in the morning and still hadn't recorded anything. We just sat and spoke about utter nonsense life. It was just a really good evening. But even the podcast episode we did record,
That was
it was really good.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And we all agreed on a score for once.
I know. It was like our very own little try not to laugh challenge that episode. Me and Ethan failed quite badly.
Yeah, you and me had gone like I was used to less strong whiskeys. So when I took a triple shot of it in one glass and had that and finished that, what was it, halfway through the episode, like 20 minutes in, I had that glass emptied.
Well, I wasn't Ethan is very for much it. A lightweight for all of our listeners.
I need to explain why I'm a lightweight. I had a massive fitness phase not all that long ago where I sort of trained my metabolism to be really fast. So I don't eat a lot. What I do eat burns off not slowly. So any alcohol goes right to me. So I will not claim to be good. I've got a bottle.
I think that's probably a single the bottle best of cider. Excuse that, I've ever heard.
It's the biological reason. You can't get much better than truth. I'm not going to pretend I'm Scottish or I'm a hard drinker. I'm
at least you're
not
honest.
A small man. I'm quite big. I'm quite bulky, so I can hold it. I can tough. There's none of that. I'm an absolute lightweight. I'm sitting here with one bottle of 3.4 unit cider. That is going to have to last me until the end of the episode, or I'm going to be speaking no sense. My head will just be like,
So coming back a little bit.
Look a bit like more, Anthony in the last episode we recorded.
Coming back a little bit more on topic, as on topic as this will get.
Oh, my word.
Anthony.
Sorry, I just understood what Ethan said.
Anthony.
Anyway. I was trying to remember what the last episode was, to be honest, in all honesty.
I heard that penny drop from here.
Favourite moment of the season, Anthony?
The car crash that was Ruben's episode. And also, I'd say the car crash that was another drinking song as well. That as nice. We slowly unraveled the song, we realized how bad of a choice it actually was.
Yes.
What do we have in here? Alcoholism and demon worship. That's probably not somewhere we need to go.
Well, I think the song itself is okay. It's the band that was the issue. Mm-hmm. You give that song to anyone else and it's okay. It's just because the band were obviously associated with demonism.
Largely to do with that.
Yeah. But actually, when you look at the song itself, it's not, like, it's just about drinking, basically. But I'm not trying to justify it. I'm just pointing out the band was the demonism, not the song.
Yeah,
it's all Ryan's fault. It's just he hadn't done anything.
It is my fault, yeah. Ethan, your favourite moment of this season?
It's so hard to choose, and I'm desperately trying not to choose something that Anthony said at some point, because...
I knew you were going to say something.
There's a lot.
No,
there's
a lot. I'm determined not to. This is something entertaining about getting some alcohol in Anthony and listening to some of the things he comes out with when he's slightly gone. Like, we can think all the way from, like, the original 75 effect. But, like, some of the things we could make t-shirts out on this, it's just legendary. Like, you can get the 75 effect. We've got Poland's not farmland.
Australia's not in the Commonwealth.
More than just Poland. Australia not being in the Commonwealth. That was another... I'm really torn. I really, really am. I enjoyed our sing along last week, the country roads that you cleverly cut out the episodes.
I didn't cut out.
You cut out. I think we went on a lot longer. Then,
no, I left
Was that all we left?
That's all you left.
All right. Well, we had Leonard Skynyrd. That was another one. that was a class act.
Anytime
sorry, Anthony, this is not meant to be a big at you.
Anthony adds the funny one out of the three of us. Not necessarily intentionally, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't 50, do it intentionally. 50 point score from Bullet with butterfly wings. That was another. That was more my face, I think, that sold
your,
you that one.
Your reaction was made that.
I was horrified. I'm not even gonna pretend.
You could hear it. But yeah, your favorite moment.
I think I'm actually gonna have to go all the way back to the start with Romeo and Juliet. Like, just that whole episode flowed so well. Like, we'd all done lots of research.
It was...
We'd all really enjoyed it. We all sort of made different points. We all considered each other's point. We all agreed with it. It was before the nightmare set in. My microphone quality is a lot less. Although it won't be brilliant in this one, because me and Anthony are both just on media recording at the moment. We're not actually recording our audio in our own homes. But yeah, there was just something about that episode. It just really, really flowed. It was really good. It was the first time we'd done it. I think we recorded it. Did we record it before or after the Eurovision ones? We can always remember Tron from Eurovision as well.
It was after the Eurovision ones, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was just refreshing that we weren't going to have to do like 4 hours of recording.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I think that episode was really, really good. Like, I thought it flowed really nicely, and it's kind of the standard's gone down from there.
Yeah, it was a good way to start off.
It started off as Auto Trader magazine, and now we're just at Top Gear. It's not it's not about the music anymore. It's just banter.
Yeah,
I think, to be honest, that's the best way to be, though. Like, we could be really rigid about it, but that's not who we are. You know, none of us can do that.
Yeah.
So, what about you then, Ryan?
My favorite.
And you should be answering this fastest, because you knew the question before we got here.
Yeah, it doesn't mean I thought about it. I think.
Yeah, Muppet.
I think probably some of my favourite moments of the season. I've had a lot of enjoyment out of doing this. It's been great crack recording every episode. I think my
of course you also have the advantage of having edited them, so you've got the like moments of listening back over it.
Yeah,
that we don't get.
I think my favourite moment was probably during the Signal 30 by Public Service Broadcasting episode.
That was going to be one of mine.
I really enjoyed having Tim back on, I've got to admit. And I thought it wasn't necessarily packed full of comedy or packed full of info, but it was like a nice balance that we struck in that episode. I thought we got a good amount of comedy in there, but we also like addressed the facts. And actually having Tim on again was really, really good. Not saying that any of our other guests weren't so good, but like I really enjoyed having Tim on.
I wasn't entirely sure what it was going to be like having Tim on, because I didn't know him all that well. I've met him a couple times.
Tim was the funny one from season one, really.
Yeah, Tim was the funny one in season one.
But I mean, I didn't know what he would be like on the thing. I didn't know if we were going to have to try and make him talk, or if it was going to be really awkward having him on. But I didn't know that.
Yeah,
like, I hadn't gotten into this. I wasn't quite in the flow of recording these at that point. And there was just something really refreshing about having Tim on. It was just friendly banter. It wasn't.
I thought it was a really nice episode, actually. It felt really natural.
That was actually up there for my top spot as well. So yeah. I'm glad at least you mentioned that. And it also gave birth to the legend that is 75.
Yes, that was where that it was started.
Where it all started.
Now, our next category is much along the same lines, but what is your funniest moment of the season? And I'm going to come to Ethan first.
Oh, no. Why would you do that? I'll have to scroll through these again. That is a nightmare of a question. Like, we've discussed some of them.
It's not an easy question.
It's, goodness me, the things we've got up to on this. Like, this whole season has been an absolute train wreck. Okay. I think I've got it. The end of the Rush episode, The Spirit of Radio, when all the puns came out about the song lyrics.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Just, we were trying to end it, but everything just ended up working like, so nicely.
Every line was like another description of us. Like, we can't, like, usually I try and quote a lyric at the end of, you know, an episode.
If you've not noticed that by now, you're doing pretty well.
Yeah. But at the end of that episode, I think we quoted like half the song at the end of the episode because it just kept working.
And I'm not even talking about Leonard Skynard because that was actually that episode as well. I'm not talking about that bit. That bit was funny in its own way, but we're going to stop taking Anthony, bless him. Poor guy sitting silently next to his radiator. No, I'm just talking about the way it just flowed off of the puns. So that one bit, like, it's not often I'll listen back and find the jokes I made funny. That I'm not that kind of guy who just listens back and think, oh, I'm hilarious. But that one thing I said did make me laugh. Like, this whole season's been one endless compromise. Just, I had forgotten I'd said that. It came out of the blue. And when I was listening to that, there was such a sharp outburst of laughter. I had to actually advertise the podcast to the site because they were wondering why on earth I was in, like, just a fit of giggles. Like,
yeah.
I think that's got to be it.
Yeah.
It just, like, for those who don't know and haven't picked it up already and haven't got it sussed, this isn't the only episode that's been unscripted. We've not got a script. We've not got a plan for any of them. We have the song. We have Wikipedia. We have song facts. All song, websites.
Song
Google.
Song meanings if you're desperate.
Yeah, if you're really desperate for something.
In case you want to know how you're supposed to feel about the song. That's where all the feedback.
Or how it applies to someone else.
Or whose mother's sister's, like, dog it was written about.
Owns
or
the album.
It means to them. Yeah. You know, it's one of those.
Yeah, it's a disaster. But
yeah,
like, that's all we have for this, our own personal research into what the song is. And half of that research doesn't get used because
we,
like, the three of us are, ow. I'm sorry. I'm going to pretend it wasn't. Ow. Funny bone. Let's get that out. I'm not waving, just pain.
Just shake the pain out.
Yeah, I apologise for whatever train of thought I was on. That got completely emptied when it completely came to an end when I knackered my elbow off the end of that table. That was sore. I'm sorry. I can't remember what I was talking about. But I'll let you finish that sentence yourself, listeners.
Anthony, your funniest moment of the season?
Well, I mean, there's so many. But I think one of the funniest is with the song Forget Me Not by Brian Fallon, how it just seemed to slip Ethan's mind.
Everyone's mind.
We just kept forgetting. We just kept forgetting Forget Me Not.
It just somehow managed to just
and to bring the season full circle. That Alanis Morissette
yes.
is ironic.
It's ironic.
I was thinking that's not been an episode for a while because I was editing back the last one. I was like, oh, I got credit where credit's due in there. And I was like, we've not had Alanis Morissette mentioned in a while. Yeah. I thought it's actually
back.
It's ironic that we've not mentioned Alanis Morissette. I think
your pardon.
I'd say that's a pretty good one. See, I think my funniest moment of the season. There's probably a few moments, but the kind of the one or two that stick out to me the most is probably Tron's back.
Yes.
And it's
that wasn't even that funny in itself. That was just you wondering what on earth that big peak in the recording was, and then that.
Well, the thing with Tron's back and the thing with Ethan's reaction to Anthony's score of 50 is that Ethan kind of goes like kind of quiet and then all of a sudden you see his audio massively spike and you just go, what's this? Ow! It's like,
yeah, I'm not a quiet person.
Like, you know, it's like Ethan's usually either quite quiet or quite soft-spoken on the podcast, and then like with Tron's back it's like just quiet, Tron's back! It's like nuts. It's like, okay, it's too much energy. And then there's like, it was just like, it's the fact that it just goes from 0 to 100 in absolutely no time at all. Yeah. It's just absolutely hilarious to me.
Oh dear. Oh. I'm sorry if that comes across in any episodes. I don't mean to be so... I do get energetic and I'm very loud when I get excited. I tend to be a very composed human being, if you know me, but the second you know me too well, you realise when I go, I'm gone.
Once he's gone, he's gone.
Yeah.
I go in a big way.
And I think...
Oh, I do apologise.
So our next category... and this is something we can all just kind of chat about a little bit, is honourable mentions songs. Now, when I think honourable mentions, I think songs that we can't quite do for this, that, or the next reason, and like potentially we won't be able to do them in the next season unless I'm like really pushed. The first song that comes to my mind for this category is Hero of War by Rise Against. Now this
you've been listening to it all day.
I only listened to it once today, but it's kind of like, yes, it's maybe that song is a little bit more of a downer on this episode. It's been so kind of bouncy and laughy and funny, but Hero of War by Rise Against is probably one of the most incredible songs I've ever listened to. It's a song that's so well written, and when the buzz rolls on the snares come in, it almost brings a tear to your eye. I know that when I've tried to sing it, it's kind of like I struggle through that bit because it is just so powerful, the wording.
It's driven. It's written in such a way that it takes you on a different journey to what it's about.
Yes.
But gives you the same emotional roller coaster. It's just something special about the idea behind that.
It's absolutely incredible. There's no other way to describe it. And obviously, the reason it can't be used on the podcast is it has one swear word, and we try and avoid swearing because this is a family friendly show. So
that's why we have so much difficulty getting PR jobs.
Yeah. So for
if people swear.
Yes. For those of you who are okay with. For those of you who are okay with one swear word in a song, and it's not even like it's not a bad swear word in my opinion, have a listen to that song.
In French, it's a normal piece of the vocabulary.
Yes, remember on the tissues when you listen to that song, because it is like it is properly riveting. It's just wow, it's something else.
See, my mind just went to end of me when you asked that question. Like, we can't ever review that song. It's such a good song.
Yeah.
But the fact that the whole idea is to describe a certain person, and it's a very good description of someone we all know very well, or formerly knew very well.
Formerly knew very well, yeah.
It just makes it such a train wreck of an episode, before we've even started.
There would be all of 2 minutes worth that could come out of it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think
the rest of it would, yeah.
And I think with End of Me, it's a case of it wouldn't be fair on the person, it wouldn't be fair on us, because we would probably focus far too much on that aspect of the song, and that would probably take away from the actual song and the actual episode, but it's also not fair to that person. Just because, you know.
And to be honest, we don't really want to go there as well.
No, we don't want to go there. Really don't want to go there. I think that's another one that we will avoid as End of Me, despite it being an absolutely cracking song.
It's a good one.
Absolutely amazing song.
It's a really difficult thing to talk about because, like, there's obviously like you talk about explicit songs. Well, there's Monkey Wrench, which is explicit in a bit that you can't even really hear.
Monkey Wrench, I'm speaking. Monkey Wrench is like swear words. All About Breakups. It's a great breakup song.
Which, again, bringing back some irony, is So Is I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston.
Yes.
Excellent breakup song.
Yes.
Why do you keep playing it at your weddings, people? Not the way you want to start a relationship. Are we going to narrow it down to people that we've done the songs by them we can't do? Because even then...
I think a song that... It would take a
pretty careful.
I think a song that would take a lot to convince you would need to convince me quite heavily to do it is Everlong by Foo Fighters. Mm. Now I absolutely adore Everlong. Everlong is possibly my favorite song ever. Like it is actually my favorite song ever. And I think if we reviewed it, it would probably get high scores across the board. I know for a fact I'd be giving it 100 straight off the bat.
I would likely be not far away from that as well.
And I think Anthony would be similar, like up there, kind of high 80s, 90s, you know, possibly hundreds. And I think potentially if we reviewed it, it would top the charts. Now, Everlong's always had a little bit of a sentimental meaning for me, and I wouldn't want to review it because of that. Because I think...
I know exactly what you mean, because I was considering the exact same point the other day.
Do you know what I mean by that? In the sense that I absolutely adore Everlong, and it does. It's always got a big space in my heart. It's a song that I've had with me for a long time, and it means a lot to me. It's probably the first Foo Fighters song I ever listened to, and there's obviously the deeper meaning of it being it's a love song, but it's my kind of love song, where it's not a love song but it is. And yeah, it's an absolutely incredible song. The acoustic version, the straight up one. I did it for my first ever song of the day. I couldn't put it on the podcast to because obviously we want to talk about the positives and the negatives of a song. I couldn't talk about any negatives of that song because I don't see any. But I think it's
I know what you mean.
It's too close to my heart to put it up there to be judged.
Yeah, I'm on the same page. I actually had this conversation with someone the other day, a good friend of mine, about how when you want to upload, you talk about doing a song. Yeah, I have friends. yeah, we were talking about it. Like, so encouraging them or asking them if they wanted to actually be a part of the podcast at some point in season three. That was the basis of that conversation. Conversation. And we were talking about it. They said, well, no, because any songs I especially enjoy are enjoyed for emotional meanings and I don't want it torn apart. And when I did the Def Havana episode, that's not my favorite song by them. There's another one by them. I'm not going to mention it for the exact same reason you're talking about Everlong. It's a very open, it's a very blatant song, but it reveals a different side of you when you start talking about the song that's meant the most to you in your life. And it's a different thing to talk about because A, you're scared of it being judged, like you say, but it also reveals something about your life that you're maybe not necessarily wanting put out live on air for everyone to know. So yeah, I know exactly where you're coming at. And for any future guests on this, don't feel you have to choose a song that means something to you for that exact reason. Yeah. Because there's very big reasons why we haven't done that.
Yeah.
Like we've talked about. So if you want to come on and if you want to do that, then creds to you. Like you're bigger people than us. Like I wouldn't be prepared to tell you what my all-time favorite song is for that reason. Because I keep that side of myself fairly quiet. Everyone else has gone really quiet. I feel that like this has gone too real.
He's a softer, really.
Yeah.
But like a turtle. As soon as you take the shell off, I'm a bit vulnerable. That's not necessarily true. For legal reasons.
Yeah.
I do agree with you.
Music is, I mean, I've said it throughout the podcast, really, you know, that music is something very personal, not just to me, but to other people as well. And what you listen to says something about you and who you are. And if you can find an emotional attachment to music in general, let alone, you know, an individual song or band, that's, you know, something that can really change who you are as well. Because usually what you're listening to will define, you know, how you're feeling or, you know, what you're going through at the time. So
yeah,
it is something very personal. And that's why we have, you know, songs that we know that we won't review because they mean so much to someone else. Or
I don't even think, on that same subject, I don't think even either of you know what the song is
I don't think so, no.
I don't think I've ever told you.
No.
Well, I know probably that there's not certain people I would definitely have wanted to tell before anyone else.
Yeah.
And they don't know. I think maybe one person knows, and they're a family member.
Yeah.
So
I think Everlong,
I have more than one family member.
Yeah, I mean, Everlong for me is kind of a song that a lot of people know means a lot to me. But you know, it's one of those songs that because I've done it on Song of the Day, it is something. It's close to my heart. It's never going to be on this podcast. We're never going to review it on this podcast, mainly because if someone wanted to be a guest and someone was a guest and said to me, oh, I want to do Everlong by Foo Fighters, I'd say, no, can you choose a different song, please? Because, yeah. And I'd do it the same if I said to you two, this person's wanting to review this song, and, you know, you two said, oh, I don't want to review that because it's personal to me, I would say to them, can you choose a different song as well? Because, you know, there's some songs we don't want to, like, discuss with the general public. Generic public as well, but you know,
whether we talk about things like
revealing parts of us and that shouldn't be shared, really.
Yeah.
So I've been prepared to do that in the Def Havana episode briefly and the Stone Sour episode. Those are things that I do keep to myself. Not a lot of people know, but it's probably about time people did know them, so I was okay revealing that. But there are some things that you're just never gonna share openly with everybody.
Yeah,
and I think that's where those songs come in,
and that's absolutely right. I'd say
And for any guests that come on, don't forget that your song choice is getting told to the as many people who ever want to listen to this.
Yeah, it's going out to the public. So like, you know, and we are, if we don't like it, we are going to grill it. Right. And that's not, it's
which
nothing.
Kind of brung me.
Yeah.
Which and it's smoothly brings me onto the next one.
It's nothing. It's nothing. Saying. It's nothing against you as a person. We're just grilling the song because we don't like it personally. We do it with each other. Like, you know, I can look at this list, Fast by Lit in season one, that got nailed. Goodbye Stranger by Supertramp, that got nailed. My Honest Face by Inhaler actually got nailed as well. I'll Remember by Toto got nailed. Forget Me Not, Brian Fallon. Didn't get great scores, actually, looking at it. You know, so we're here to review songs and have a bit of a laugh about it. Don't take it personally, and that's why we say don't put a personal song on unless you're absolutely okay with us going, yeah, that's rubbish.
We're never gonna do it just for the sake of doing it. That's one thing.
No.
So for as an example of this,
example
of someone we really shouldn't review or
BTS.
Would not let you review.
BTS.
If you really enjoying them. Well, BTS is a whole other thing. Like, we're not gonna talk about them. It would have been far better if they could have been sort of pushed out the way. On that subject, if you are a very close and dear fan of Olivia Rodrigo, and I even got her name right for you this time, I may have Googled it just before looking it up.
Do you know what?
Just to be sure.
Is it right?
Let me finish my point first. If you are a big fan of Olivia Rodrigo, do not choose her to come on here.
Yep.
Because she's probably someone we cannot review, A, for explicit reasons, and B, because we all are convinced she's an absolute fraud and that any money she has earned is coming from taxpayers who have done a lot more work than she has ever done and ever will do in her pathetic little fraudulent life. Rant over.
Pretty much. Anthony?
Well, I mean, the other day I was chatting to Ruben and he was like, oh, Olivia Rodriguez has changed her name. I was like, what do you mean? He was like, yeah, it's Rodrigo now. I was like, Ruben, it's always been Rodrigo. And he was like, no, because Ethan's been saying Rodrigo. I was like, yes, that's the joke.
Ethan's not a reliable source.
No, like, for the record, like, you may have, everyone listening to this, and even you two, apparently, you may have thought I was joking. I genuinely get a name muddled up. Like, that's not a joke. I've never made that a joke.
It's like me like, with
that and Tic Tac. I forget the names of both of them. I'm not a very modern, up-to-date with everything person. I may be in the right age, but I live in a farming community.
To be honest, Ethan just forgets the name of people in general, and so do I a little bit.
Yeah, confession time. I am genuinely not a very up-to-date person. Like, I've never heard of anyone called Rodrigo. I've heard of lots of people called Rodriguez.
Yeah.
And so naturally I get it muddled up. And knowing I had that issue, I made sure to look it up before making any comment about her in this episode. I've covered myself. That wasn't scripted either.
No. I think we'll move on, unless anyone's got... There's loads of songs.
We'll need a way to do this again in season three.
there's loads of songs, and chances are this will happen again in season three, and we'll have more different songs to choose. But we'll move on. That's just a rough idea of what's in our mindset. Your favourite lyric of the season. Now, this is going to be a difficult one.
Ooh.
But to me, this will be a lyric that when you look through all the songs that we've reviewed over the last few months, this is a lyric that sticks out to you.
Are you talking within the songs or the one that you quoted at the end?
No, within the songs.
Oh, right, okay.
Which makes it a little bit broader.
Yeah.
Now, I've obviously got a little bit of an advantage with this, having to choose one at the end of each week, so chances are one of the ones I choose is going to be that one, and actually I know what one I'm going to choose.
This is from Billy Talent.
Yeah, of course it is. But I...
Oh, I know which one it is.
What I'll do is I'll go first.
I might have a suspicion.
I'll go first.
I'm going to have to look up the lyrics of two of mine and decide which one I like more.
While them two look up lyrics, I'm going to talk about my own one. Now, My own one is, I mentioned that in the Billy Talent episode, I mentioned how much I love Billy Talent, but I also mentioned how much I loved this line in this song. Now, that line is currently, found it. That line or lines is, how can you look the world in the eyes when all we can see is corruption and lies? Now, that to me is exactly what the world is today. And every time I hear that line, goosebumps go down my spine, I think. Like, that was written 9, 10 years ago. To me, that hits the nail on the head. How can people look the world in the eyes? How can people look at the world and just think, oh yeah, it's fine? Or, you know, look at the world and just accept what's happening when everywhere you look, there's corruption, there's lies, there's the UK government, there's the Member of Parliament, the MP, not all that long ago, who was, I think he was found out to be taking bribes and voting whichever way he was bribed to vote. You know, that's corruption in government. You see it in FIFA, the actual organisation, FIFA. That's probably one of the most corrupt organisations in the world. And I just think, I'm neutral politically, but when that line is in a song and a band has identified that in the world, I think that's exactly what it is. Because I'm neutral politically, but you can't deny that when you look around the world, all you can see is corruption and lies, left, right and centre.
That brings you on to Troubled Times by Green Day.
Yeah, we didn't do that song, so that's the one for another season.
Yeah,
we haven't done Green Day, so that's one for next season.
Yeah, I've got two entries for this.
Okay, go on.
And unsurprisingly, both of them are songs I chose. So yeah, but
that's a fair point. Actually, like the lyrics. Then again, I also chose Viking Death March. So yeah, carry on.
Well, you choose a song you like, yeah, and there's usually a reason you like it. So it's kind of, I'm expecting the same thing from Anthony. It makes sense. The first one I'm going to say is from Small Town Southern Man. This Alan Jackson is a wonderfully
Southern Man.
It's a wonderfully simple, wonderfully beautiful song. Not necessarily about his family, but based on his family relationship to illustrate the point. And that was the whole idea of Alan Jackson. It illustrated the idea of someone in his situation. It's the whole idea of fundamental country music from that era. We had that conversation in the episode. The lyrics, callous hands told the story for the small town southern man. He gave it all to keep it all together and keep his family on his land. It gives you the idea of what his family was like, what it was like for his life. And this is kind of like the sentimental value I find behind this song. It's why it was so close to me. There's a lot of people who have to work really hard for things that a lot of famous people take for granted, which is, again, links into why I have so little respect for people like that Olivia Rodrigo and what's her name? There's another one that I noticed recently. I can't mind. But the people who have made a music career because they were already famous from family members. It's a bit pathetic, especially when they try and relate to the public. It doesn't work. There are people who have to give it all to keep it all together. And that paragraph goes on to say, years wore out his body, made it hard just to walk and stand. He gave everything he had. This one man, he put so much effort into just keeping a hold of his house and something to earn the money. And now Alan Jackson, he's gone on, he's made a career, has the money, but his dad's no longer with him. It's a really sad and quite touching, like, connection he gives you in the lyrical writing to that.
Yeah. I think that line kind of makes me think of another song by a band called Whiskey Myers, called Ballad of a Southern Man.
Okay.
Now, that's a really nice song, and we may review it at some point in the future, I don't know. But it's a really nice song that kind of talks about his upbringing and what it's like to kind of live in a very country scenario in the South. Mm-hmm. And like when you listen to the song, like the kind of the imagery, but it's just like he's singing about his childhood, his upbringing, and it's a really nice, refreshing song. There's nothing technical to it. There's nothing like amazing about it. I just think it's a really nice song to listen to. It's really honest, and that's kind of what I get from that lyric and that kind of song, Small Town Southern Man.
Yeah, and there's a reason that like touches me even more, if I'm to be entirely honest, because a lot of Alan Jackson's songs are based on experiences in his life and relationships he has, either romantic or with family, friends, whatever. And I mentioned the song Chasing That Neon Rainbow in the episode we did on him. And ow, I did it again. I'm going to ignore it this time.
Keep going.
Yeah, he talks about his dad bought him a radio. He says, I know I'm going to hear you playing on that one day. One day you're going to make it big enough so that I'm going to hear you on this radio I've bought. And they kept the same radio just to listen to his songs. And they had that connection. They always talked about it. They kind of scared his mother to death between them because he was going out and performing in bars for free just to kind of build it up. That's what the whole song's about. When you combine that relationship he had with his dad and knowing that by the time he'd made a career to the point, so his dad had given his whole life just to keep in the house for them. And then by the time that Alan had got a sustainable income to the point where he could support the family, they wouldn't have to work so hard just for the simple things. His dad wasn't there. It's just a really sad and touching thing. I've read into it quite far, but it shows you, like, it gives you a new experience of the artist. And I just think that's really, really touching, really sad, but also really impressive that he's been willing to open and share that in his writing.
I'd say that's Until We Find a Cure for the Enemy.
Had to go and say something like that, didn't you?
I had to put a great reference in.
And the other one's not quite as in-depth. Small Town Southern Man is my favourite. Like that's going to be my favourite. The second one is from Deaf Havana, The Past 6 Years.
Yes.
Where it just says, through these cynical, all bitter eyes, the future's hard to see. These songs do not mean half as much as they should do to me. Apathy.
Mm-hmm.
You lose the will. You lose the enthusiasm in what you're doing if you're not enjoying it. So you need, the lesson being, work to enjoy what you do. Don't do it for others. It's a good lesson. Otherwise, you end up like he does in that. That's just an honourable mention for that one. I'm sticking with the scenario for Small Town Southern Man because it's just so sad, but so connecting to the artist.
Yeah, absolutely. Anthony, your favourite lyric of the season?
Well, mine comes from a song that I chose from
It Children Makes Sense. I said it already.
Children of the Sun was a song that I found and it just seemed to stick in my head. And I don't really know why. I mean, it's nothing really special, but it just seems to... But in essence, it's not. But I absolutely love it, you know. I mean, I absolutely adore the song. And there's one part of the song that I love the most. And it's when it's...
I wonder if you're going to go with the same lyric I am here.
Hang on, I've got to find it again. It's then we go, we take fire from the sun. This planet's cold, we'll find some place we belong. We've been shining in the dark, holding on together, just like children of the sun.
Okay, no, you didn't go with the same one as me, but I'll let you go on.
But the part where he talks about this planet's cold, for some reason that just seems to resonate, and it gives me goosebumps every time I listen to it or, you know, read it, because, you know, it can, well, this has actually just come to me, but it can highlight, you know, the how it can feel when you're going through a bad time in your life, you know, when you're feeling really down, you know, it can feel like the world is cold, like the whole planet is cold, but then you try and find some place that you belong, you find somewhere where you fit in, where you, you know, where things make sense, and then you shine in that darkness. You know, and then if you have, you know, that place of holding on with someone and, you know, have the ability to do that, then, you know, you feel like a child of the sun, really, you know, because you're shining so bright within such a gloomy and dark time that you stand out. And I think that, to me, it's just a fantastic song all around.
I feel like that should be an honourable mention for the first question you asked, favourite episode or favourite moment, because I don't think me and Anthony have ever agreed on something so wholeheartedly as that song. I'd never heard that song before Anthony reviewed it, and I just absolutely fell in love with it as soon as I'd listened to it. I thought, this is brilliant. It's just such a well-written song. And reducing your question into favourite lyric from this song, it's got to be the feeling like we're here again, staring in the face of circumstance we understand. Mm. you can't do other than what you have in front of you. Your circumstances are what they are, and sometimes they're unavoidable. So feeling like you're here again, well, you probably are. You've fully faced that situation before, and it can be very hard to face that. And then he just says, we understand. And everyone does. We all have situations in our life, like circumstances that we face that unfortunately we're stuck with. I don't shut up. Everyone's stuck with that. But you can, I don't know. It's not to the point where it's beaten the other two I mentioned, but that's probably my favorite lyric in this. There's lots of really good lyrics in this, actually. I've just got the lyrics up and I'm looking through it. Forgotten what it's like to lose freedom and the right for you to choose.
I've got one other one, and I don't think we could go through this episode without me talking about this episode.
Oh no.
That Light My Love by Greta Van Fleet.
Because it had to happen.
Greta is a band that is very close to my heart for many, many reasons. I don't
because I introduced him to them and he denies it.
And I
he found them because you didn't introduce me to them. Billy did at work. You may have found them first, but I found them at work, and I fell in love with them the day I heard them.
I didn't.
I feel like that didn't come out. My enthusiasm.
We all simultaneously stumbled across them. That's what happened. We all came across them, but didn't talk about them. And then we came together and were like, oh, this band's really good.
You specifically told me after I'd mentioned them to you that I was listening to them and that you took them off of my now listening. You went in, did the research yourself. You have told me that, and as a memory implanted in my head.
That does sound like something I would do. I think I had listened to them before, but like skimmed over them and thought, nah. But then I saw you listening to one of the songs and I thought, oh, I'll give it a listen.
It would have been Heat Above, I'd imagine, because that was the single that came out. That was the only thing song that I think it was out there, the Heat Above single. That whole album's been released now at the point of recording this episode. I have a physical copy of the album. I bought it for full price because I feel like I didn't actually emphasize enough. Anthony's done it a few times through the season. I didn't emphasize enough the love I have of that group.
Greta
Van Fleet are in a world where all you do is get judged if you copy something that somebody doesn't like, and they're releasing music in the 2020s where all you get is digitally altered music or music that's aiming for perfection without any human imperfection. Or like, I listened to the Romeo and Juliet episode today, and Ryan mentioned about how they're removing the human element from music by trying to make it perfect. And Greta Van Fleet, there's no autotune. I did the research for that. There's none of that nonsense. There's no digital editing. They occasionally use a synthesizing keyboard with sound effects on that.
Which is cool.
Well, Take That did it, and they were cool. All the 70s groups did it.
80s.
They're... Well, 80s, sorry, not 70s.
Well, some 70s groups did it.
Yeah. It came in into the 80s,
which was devoted to synth music. You know, you got synth pop.
Well, I'm talking about more just like that nifty sounding piano effect that you get in songs. That was an 80s thing. Ryan is right, because I remember Gary Barlow talking about it once, because he has a personal obsession with synthesizers.
It was a thing in the 70s, but it was dominant in the 80s. Like, I'm thinking Carry On Wayward Son, Kansas.
That's a really good... I had not thought of that, but that is a really good example.
Carry On Wayward Son, I feel like that was late 70s. I want to say it was 79, but I need to look it up.
I want to say 77, Kansas, for that song.
Released 1976, so you were closer. But that's a heavily... Okay. Like
the album might have been 77.
It uses synthesizers, but it's also just a great song.
Greta Van Fleet, a bit like the Struts in some ways, but the Struts kind of... They're here and there. You have to pick and choose with their stuff. But every song Greta Van Fleet does is authentic music. Like, they've not done anything, but they've put the effort in. They've not got the money for nothing and the chicks for free or anything like that. Like that whole song is talking about with Dire Straits. They've put the effort in. They've learned the instruments. They wouldn't let their guitarist touch an electric guitar until he'd absolutely mastered the acoustic and he would behave himself with an electric guitar, because he would just say, I just want to play with this. No, you're getting that back. Take the acoustic, wait until you're done, wait until you're ready. And they work together, and now they are what they are. And even in today's age, they are not untalented musicians. They don't just play chords. They don't just invent chords and play those invented chords. They're flamboyant. They do have a style. It's a bit of an odd style. I'm not going to deny that. I absolutely love his voice. I absolutely love that they love Gibson. That's always a win for me. Mm. I love that they're an instrumental group. I love that they're unique. Was that the first thing I said? I can't remember.
Probably.
An endless list.
Yeah.
And I absolutely adore Greta Van Fleet. I cannot emphasize how much I love that group. Mm-hmm. Every song they've put out, every album they've put out, I would personally claim to be a perfect album by Ryan's definition, more so than mine. I'll just listen to them on loop constantly if I don't feel the need to move on for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I just want to make that abundantly clear. I absolutely adore Greta Van Fleet as a group, and I cannot wait to go and see them with these lads next year.
Yes. That'll be really good. I think to round off the episode, we'll do a rundown of...
We didn't even do the requests.
No, I think we'll leave the requests to next season. So we do have some write-ins for requests, and we will get to them in the upcoming season.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly as guest episodes, possibly as just... Let's just
do it. We
didn't
get enough of them.
Yeah, we didn't get enough of them.
Just invite these people
so,
on.
So please, write in with your requests or drop a comment on Instagram or follow us on Instagram. You can follow us on Instagram at song.craft.bid, or you can write to us by sending us an email. The email address is songcraft.bid@gmail.com. So another drinking song by Skyclad is in last place, 34th place with 30 points. No need for discussion there. Demonism. 33, that was in season 1. That's Goodbye Stranger by Supertramp, which was obviously Tim's choice. That came in at 42.5 average score. Yeah, it probably deserves to be there, to be honest.
We weren't there for that one, so we can't comment.
Yeah, 32nd place, Fast by Lit, which was my choice in season 1. That got a 52.5 average score. Personally, I believe this should be higher than that.
I've never listened to it or the group properly, so I can't comment either.
But, you know.
Not sure about you, Anthony.
No, I haven't.
Oh, well. 31st place, My Honest Face by Inhaler, which was Anthony's choice in this season.
Should be higher.
I personally would suggest that could be higher.
That probably should be higher, yeah.
I can't believe I gave the highest score for that.
I know.
That seems wrong.
Yeah, because I gave it a... I'm not. 45.
No, Anthony gave it the highest score. I was 55.
30th place was one of my choices. A Monster by Styx coming in at 55.
I think that if you had chosen a different song from the album, it would have gone in higher.
There's better Styx songs, that's for sure.
Yeah. That one I would have also put to 55 now, I think, instead of the 50 I've given it.
Yeah, well, I Will Remember by Toto ranks in at 29th. That was Ed's song from season 1. I got a 56.25 average score. That deserves to be there. put it that way. Toto have done a lot better songs, like a lot better than that. And for being I said it in season 1, you can go back and listen to that episode. I really encourage you to do so. But for being a song that's all about the death of the drummer and remembering him, it had terrible drumming in it. Do it right.
Which is almost poetic in the fact that we need you. So in a sense, you could also appreciate that.
Yeah.
We need you and miss you, because this is what we are without you.
Yeah, a little bit of that. So 28th, as Ethan said, Forget Me Not by Brian Fallon. That came in with an average score of 60.
That one probably I would have rated lower than I gave it now.
You gave it a 60.
Not much lower. I probably will be about the same.
I think it's one of those songs. It's much about Such. I think we actually got that one pretty spot on.
I chose that song simply because we'd gotten in and you guys were all choosing songs that we didn't really like. They weren't well known. We were trying to advertise songs rather than talk about things people wanted to hear.
We wanted to do almost.
Yeah, yeah. 27th place. That was Inbetweener by Sleeper. That was Tim's choice from season 1, 62.5. I'd say we've ranked that pretty well. It's an alright song, I'd say.
I've not even heard that before.
It's not a bad kind of Britpop song. 26th, We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel, Anthony's choice from season 2, 63.33. That was one of the most painful episodes I've ever had to record.
Yeah. Like, you guys missed out.
That one from Billy Joel, because he's done so many other great songs.
You missed out on the torment that was that episode, you'll be glad to hear.
Yes, because... I cut pretty much all of it.
Yeah. I think I may have to do a retribution episode next season to make up for that.
For Billy Joel. Yeah, give him a better name.
Zanzibar or Uptown Girl?
Yeah, Uptown Girl.
Or any song from the Stranger album or Glass Houses.
Because I'll just be sitting there going, Uptown Girl, and just like sitting there happy away.
No, you singing that has just reminded me of another favourite part from this season.
Anthony singing?
No. You saying my boyfriend's back and openly declaring that in an episode. I want that as a sound clip.
Oh, get it on a t-shirt.
With your face specifically.
Depends if I'm the boyfriend or not.
You're the one, Colin.
So 25th place, we had Signal 30 by Public Service Broadcasting. That was Tim's choice from the first season that we actually reviewed in the second season. That got an average score.
The only reason that
65.
Is so high is simply because of the 75 effect.
Yeah, the 75 effect.
This is your fault, Anthony. I hope you're not regretting, but remembering that.
And I still stand by my score.
And
because
Tim gave it a 90 as well. Yeah.
I forgot to look at that column. Yikes.
I didn't help.
No, I take it back. The blame's not yours anymore, Anthony. Blame the Irish.
Going into 24th, that was Backroads by Lonely the Brave. That was Ed in season 1. That got another average score of 65. So technically, Signal 30 was joint 24th. Personally, I think that could be ranked higher. I really like that song now.
Yeah, Backroads, I was sitting getting really confused as to why I rated it 75 before remembering that that wasn't this season.
Yeah, that was a really, really good song. Next, we come to last week's episode, which was Brother by Gerard Way, which was Ollie's choice, one of our guests. That got a 65.5. I think that's fair.
I'm happy with my score on that anyway. I just really wasn't here or there.
22nd, I'll argue that this should have been higher. In the Company of Worms by Thank You Scientist. That was my choice from season 1. Got 66.75. I think there's better Thank You Scientist songs, but I was trying to choose a song that Paul, Ed and Tim would like, and Paul didn't end up liking it as much as I'd hoped, and Ed did like it because it was a prog song, but Paul didn't like the guitar solo, even though it's a fretless guitar, which I thought was really cool. In 21st place, we have Unanswered Prayers by Weep. That was Paul's choice. I'll send it to you. 67.5. Yeah, it was Paul's choice.
Weep was Paul. Weep okay, was... I was probably prepared for that to be Ed.
Weep was Paul, Ed, and two other guys. I think that's pretty well placed, to be honest. In 20th, we have Romeo and Juliet by Dire Straits. That was Anthony's choice, the first episode of season 1. 19th place, Step Up and Want It by Mailing the Sons of Disaster. That was Ruben's
that
choice.
Could be a lot lower.
That probably should be a lot lower. if I had to go quality of episode, then that would be a lot lower in my book.
It's definitely funny, but other than that.
Yeah. That's actually joint 18th place now that I look at. So then the other song that's in 18th place is So Long and Thanks for All the Fish by Perfect Circle. Well, 70 should be way higher, but it was season 1.
I second that. And that is one of those songs that I think would be a perfect 100. At least from one of us nowadays.
17th was a Bon Jovi song. The first ever episode we ever did. That was in season 1. Dry County by Bon Jovi. 71.25. What, sorry?
I'm pretty sure that was number 1 for a while, wasn't it?
It was number 1 for a long, long time, yeah. It took a while to be knocked off.
17th.
Yeah, now it's 17th. So now we move into 16th place, which is Zombie by the Cranberries. This was one of my recent choices. 71.67, I think it's a fair score. I think it puts it in the middle, which is probably where
I would
be, yeah. I'd say it's rightly scored. Then 15th, as we were talking about, Children of the Sun by Feeder, that had a 73.33 average score.
I think maybe that should have been higher, but again, you were the one who scored it down because you didn't think it would.
I scored it quite low, yeah. I think it's still a fair score though.
Yeah, yeah.
14th, Black Hole Sun by Soundgarden. That was Paul's choice from season one. 74.5. I think it deserves to be higher. Black Hole Sun.
I don't, to be honest.
I think Black Hole Sun's a great song with no meaning other than the fact that the phrase Black Hole Sun sounds cool, but I think it's a really good song, really fun to play on drums. Musically, very good. Going into 12th place, we have A Thousand Trees by Stereophonics.
I'm happy with that, actually.
Yeah, we can't change that because that was... Excuse me, I'm eating.
Yeah, but, we don't.
That was all perfect score, so we can't really complain about that.
That was.
I don't like your score on that one, Ryan. I don't like how high you gave or how low you gave it.
That was the 75 effect and, well, full effect.
In full force. I do apologize for that horrible sound of me eating and speaking there, but I had to make a comment. I'm sorry.
Moving into 12th place, we have Silent Lucidity by Queensryche.
Oh, that should be higher, in my opinion.
76.25, I would give that a higher score. I only gave it a 65 at the time. And you can listen back to all of these episodes on all your good podcasting platforms and all of the bad ones as well.
All those platforms that cast pods.
Yes.
I definitely prefer other Queensryche songs.
Silent Lucidity is a ballad, but I think it's a very good ballad. And I actually enjoy it a lot more now than I did at the time.
Maybe that's my problem, man. I'll look into that more in the future.
Yeah.
I like Queensryche, but there's other songs I like more by them.
Yeah. Number 11, Street Spirit Fade Out by Radiohead. It was Paul's choice.
Mm. I wish I had given it higher because I love that song now. Yeah. I love the entire album now, the Benz album. It's absolutely fantastic.
I rated that song the highest out of all of us.
Yeah, I was actually really surprised at that.
It did come as a shock to you, didn't it, during that episode? Remember that. But it's my kind of song, that kind of kind of depressing, quite deep, quite muddy kind of song. It's my kind of ideal
song. Speaking of shocks.
Number 10,
yeah.
Bullet with Butterfly Wings by the Smashing Pumpkins.
I should maybe stay on mute for this one.
Average score of
77. This is the only reason this is so low, Anthony. It's entirely on you.
And I'm happy with that.
To put it this way,
you're disgusting.
Ethan gave this an 89. I gave it a 92. And Anthony gave it a 50. So you've heard the email address already in the episode. Be sure to write in what your score would be for Bullet with Butterfly Wings. And if you agree with Anthony or if you think it should have been way higher.
Any abuse we'll also take. We'll maybe siphon it a bit for Anthony, but we'll look at it.
So moving on to number 9, Say You'll Haunt Me by Stone Sour, coming in with an average score of 80. This was a really good song.
I'm happy where this is.
I think 9th is a fair place for it.
Yeah, I think that it's a good place and I'm happy with where it ended up, to be honest.
Yeah. Now, moving on to 8th place, I think Ethan's got something to say about this. Light My Love by Greta Van Fleet. Average score 80.33.
At the time, like a few episodes later, I wasn't so happy where it ranked because there are better songs down there and it was very high on the list. But since that list has grown and developed, it does suit its place a lot more now. It's still a really good song.
Yeah.
Now I personally rated it maybe a bit high at the time, but your score kind of balanced that out and I am happy with the 80 points it has rounded out at.
Yes. I rated this with a 68, and my pure reason for it, I do like Greta. I think they're a terrific band for all the reasons Ethan mentioned earlier. Like My Love is a love song. I don't think his voice suits a love song. Personally, for me, his voice isn't... It's too... For the reasons we discussed in that episode, so please go and listen to it. His voice is too screechy for a love song in my book. But it's all about personal taste. That's why I gave that quite a low score. Moving on to number 7, around 1.33 points higher, we have Freebird by Lynyrd Skynyrd. That was Anthony's choice quite recently.
I'm happy where it is, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think Ethan would kill me if I said that.
I think maybe a little bit lower would be okay, but I think I'm happy where it is.
I think
Solo's classic. It's perfect. And for that reason, it deserves the place where it is.
Yeah.
In itself, it's not necessary. It's not. It's a pretty poor song, but the solo, the fact that it's a classic, the fact that it's an entire memory for the dead lead singer of Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah.
As you more so because of what's attached to the song than the song itself. It deserves its place.
Yes. Now, sixth place, we have a song we've been discussing quite a lot tonight, a point higher, so 82.67, Small Town Southern Man by Alan Jackson.
It's very high on this list. Maybe not as high as I would put it on this list.
Yeah.
But it does have enough power for me personally that I'm happy and I'm to accept that. That's maybe a weird sentence to say.
Yeah.
I think what I'm experiencing here is a 75 effect in a different sense. So
yes,
it's almost deserves a different, I'm happy where it is, but it feels wrong on this chart.
Yeah.
Now you understand the 75 effect.
I think I may have finally, that's a wonderful way to round out the season, isn't it? From episode one to episode, whatever this is, the final episode, I have 24. Finally grasped the concept of how Anthony has invented the 75 effect.
It's just because my brain is so like woke that you just can't get on the plane of it.
I left my passport at home.
Moving swiftly on. We're into the top five. Now, number five was Ethan's choice from season 2, episode 18, The Past 6 Years by Deaf Havana, which ranked in at 83.33. So I think that's a fair place for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I agree.
I think fifth, I'm pretty happy where that is. I think it's a good enough song to be in our top five. And actually, our top five, I'm pretty happy with, to be honest.
Have rated Porcupine Tree above Greta Van Fleet personally.
No, however, I think Anesthetize is probably the one that doesn't fit in there.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of agree. I like the song, don't get me wrong. That rhymes, I'm happy. But I think it should be lower.
Yeah.
Not because it's a bad song, but because other songs on this list are better.
Well, as they've said,
we're not saying like bottom of the pack. I mean, like it would fit in at like, you know, seventh.
Yeah.
I would say.
And as they've said, Anesthetize, Porcupine Tree, that's fourth place, 83.75, just beating The Past 6 Years by Deaf Havana. That was Ed when he came on as a guest. That was his choice. Now I liked this song. I liked it a lot because it's a prog song. Ethan actually gave that the highest score out of all of us with an 88.
Yeah, I can't remember why now. I think it's because it was a metal song and I'm more of a metalhead than I claim to be on this.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a pretty awesome song. So the top three, Viking Death March by Billy Talent at 86.33. I'm pretty happy with where that is currently.
I'm having the same kind of feelings about this one as Small Town Southern Man. I agree with where it is, but not on this list.
Yeah.
I'd also say it's better than the one in second place, personally. But I'd also say the songs below it deserve to be higher.
Yeah. I'll say this now. If you want to kind of look at any of this or follow along when we've gone through it, then this will be posted on Instagram. It may not be posted at the time of upload, but it will be kind of uploaded not too long after. So going into second place, The Spirit of Radio by Rush, season 2, episode 19. This got a score of 90. I gave it 100, Ethan gave it 90, Anthony gave it 80. I don't think we need to say much more than that. I think that was one of our best episodes as well.
It was. Definitely was one of our better episodes.
So
I love the song. I personally would, I know I gave them both 90, but on this list, Viking Death March would look better on top of it.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah. I apologize for all those people who love to clear other people's throats in their heads. That was a horrible way of me saying that. I do apologize.
And finally, the top spot, Ethan holds it with Keep the Faith by Bon Jovi, season 2, episode 14. This got an average score of 91.67, so just 1.67 points ahead of The Spirit of Radio. I don't think that needs any introduction. I don't think that needs any justification for being top spot. It is an incredible song.
I
don't like that it's on the same plane as Signal 30. However,
I think
say that I regret my score.
Anthony gave this a 75, like most other things.
But, this would be a bit of a sweeping statement, but fair enough.
But I would probably give it a 90 now.
Oh, good wow. Man, I've got him on over.
Yeah. So that's the kind of...
It's only maybe a good job he didn't give it a 90, though, because that would be some level of a margin.
That would be something else to beat. Now, have you two got anything more to say for this season?
Well, I would like to say thank you to the listeners.
I was thinking much the same.
You know, without you guys, we wouldn't be doing this. And, you know, we've had...
Well. We probably would.
It wouldn't be done the way it is now, I think what Andy's trying to say.
Yeah.
We started this for fun.
Yeah. But, you know, the feedback that we've got from everyone about the podcast and how everyone has enjoyed the podcast as well, because, you know, as Ethan said, we started this for fun, you know, and to be honest, none of us really thought it would go anywhere. But, you know, we've had, without going into too much detail, we've had people come to us and say, do you want to do episodes with us? And, you know, it's grown from just us three doing it to something that we could pursue in the future. And we thank you for listening along and, you know, having crack with us as well, you know, because to be honest, it would be very easy for us to just, you know, laugh amongst us three and be like, ha, that was funny. And no one else be on the level that we are on. But actually, it seems like everyone understands and, you know, our friendship comes over in the episodes as well. So I think just a big thank you to everyone for listening and, you know, enjoying what we're doing, and stay tuned for more, I guess.
Yeah.
And following on just very smoothly from that, I'm much on the same wavelength. I would never want to pursue this as a career. That was never the intended outcome. And I wouldn't want it to, and I wouldn't want to get overly involved with this, because to me, this is just great fun. So before this podcast, I had never met properly either of these two. I really gotten to know them. Ryan may be an exception for reasons that go beyond
podcast chat.
I'd known Ryan a bit better, but never properly, I think, before. If we reasonably think, like, when we recorded the Eurovision, it was just a good idea. Anthony especially, I'd never really gotten to know him. He was just sort of in that same circle of friends, but we both had an appreciation for music. All three of us did. We ended up getting together through that. So what basically the listeners have listened is me and Anthony become friends, which is a bizarre but kind of nice thing to say. Mm. And at the same time, you know how you often listen to YouTubers and they do this whole spiel about how, oh, it's good to have a community, it's good to have all this, that, and the other, it's good that people are interested in listening to what we want to talk about, and all, you know, all that kind of thing. I'm not saying they all sound like Yorkshiremen.
Or whatever David accent
that was. Whatever it was. But it kind of makes sense at this point, because, like, we've enjoyed doing this. Well, I certainly have, and I can tell by the look on Ryan's agreement face that he's agreeing with me, and Anthony's already said something much similar. It's been quite fun, and I know a lot of the listeners personally on this, but at the same time, knowing that there's listeners out there I've never met, I don't know them, and I'm curious. Like, this is why I like encouraging people to write in. It's good to hear feedback from you, because you're hearing from us. It's really interesting to me to know that there are people out there who want to listen or learn about music, because we live in a world today that isn't interested in the music. They're either interested in the feeling or because it's cool to listen to that, which was kind of how I got into music in the first place. It was cool to listen to 80s rock music when I was kicking off. Yes, I'm old. I'm sorry. Shut up. But it's kind of expanded from that. And you look at the music today, we've often talked about how it's lacking something. It's not the same as it used to be. And that's because it has become a commercial aspect. And there's not many people who are interested in talking about it to the extent that we like to. The idea of people listening in this to get involved and talk about what music used to be, that's the kind of people I enjoy talking to, enjoy meeting. So whether you know us or not, by all means, feel free to write in, mention either your song choices, mention us for a chat,
about music. But whatever, it's just good to know that there are people out there who enjoy music to the point. And I think that's what I really enjoy about this. YouTubers often talk about that community. You know, they've developed a wee community in their area. We kind of have that now, which is kind of cool. Not because it earns us anything. We're doing this out of our own pockets.
That's the point we want to stick around on, because I was going to make that point. You know, YouTubers will say it because at the end of the day, they're paying their paycheck. We don't have that. We're doing this.
We're not interested. I'm not interested in that either. That's not why we're doing this at all.
Yeah, we don't get paid for this. You know, we do this because we enjoy doing it. I think it keeps us humble as well.
So yeah, we're never going to start, I don't think, advertising or trying to make money off of this. It's not something any of us are interested in. It's just good to know that there are people on our wavelength who enjoy the music, who enjoy learning, or who just enjoy the banter we come out with. We do come out with some absolute nonsense on this. You don't get to hear all of it for reasons that involve alcohol. But yeah, it's just good to know there are people. I've labored this point too much, but genuinely, it makes me really excited to know that there is hope in the world. If that's maybe a bizarre and a slightly strong point to say, but knowing that the music career has not died, knowing that there's a bit more to it than just
finding out that
plug some numbers into a computer and doing all the work just for someone else who has a pretty face and wears a lot of makeup to earn all the money that you should have earned for all the effort you've put in. I'm glad to know that the music career has gone beyond that, which is kind of ties into why I like Greta Van Fleet so much, but that's another tangent I don't need to go into.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't say much better than them two have done. I just want to say a really big thank you to my co-hosts. That's obviously from season one as well and season two. So Ed, Tim, Paul, if you are listening, which I hope you are, if not, why aren't you? I'll be querying you on that. No, seriously, I thank all my co-hosts, Anthony, Ethan, Paul, Tim, Ed, and all of the guests we've had, Ruben, Ollie, and obviously our co-hosts from season one. I want to thank all of you, because obviously this wouldn't be possible without all of you, and I've had a great time editing this, and also just recording it with you and getting the crack with you, sitting down talking about something we're all passionate about and having that fun. We've all had fun doing it. I think we really enjoy doing it, and we will be back for season three. That will be, once again, we're going to kick it off with Eurovision. So whenever Eurovision is, expect an episode dropping from us quite soon. We will hopefully have a couple of little episodes, bonus episodes going out in the off season. We have something in the pipeline working with a PR company, and that's looking promising. And we also have a Best Bits episode, which Anthony will be loving editing since he can't listen to his own voice.
Best Bits episodes to come.
it's also worth mentioning that the next season, on top of the things that we've discussed already, there's also going to be a few amendments made. Me and Ryan are both very picky and professional. Yes. Like we like things done neatly. And this episode, like we said in Rush, has just been a complete compromise from one stage to the next.
Yeah. And if you have any suggestions on how we can improve, or anything that you enjoy that we do, or anything that you think, oh, this could be better, drop us an email. We're always open to criticism. We're always open to, you know, listening to people's advice. And if we can make the show better for you, if we enjoy doing it that way, then we'll, you know, incorporate it in. You know, so be sure to write in, as Ethan said, the email and Instagram. I've said it 100 times, it's in the episode description. You can find it in any of our good episodes where I can actually remember it.
And don't be afraid to write in either.
Yeah.
We come across very strong personalities, but genuinely do enjoy talking about music. We're not gonna slate you just for the sake of slating you. If we don't like the song, and we know that you do, we're going to be very nice in our opinions. We're not going to be mean. We are when you're not here, because we don't know who enjoys these songs. And we're sorry if you've enjoyed some of the songs that we've been really harsh to. But if you're here, we're not going to do that to you. Yeah. It's not fair. That's not kind. You enjoy that song. That's fair enough to you. As Anthony's mentioned in a previous episode, he's been covering us from the start.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say that, you know, in previous episodes, you know, I've talked about how if you find a connection with any form of music, then that is fantastic. You know, even if it is, you know, pop music, if you have a connection with it, that is what we're focusing on here.
Yeah.
Me and Anthony have both had goes at the likes of Billie Eilish in the past. I was going to call her Eilish because of Ryan there. I'm so sorry. Billie Eilish. But I enjoy certain songs, not many, I have to, it has to be said. I don't enjoy many by her, but there are a couple she's put out that I've really thought, wow. And she doesn't need autotune either because of her life. And whoa, okay, you make a point. You can sing. Not my style of thing at all, but we recognize the talent involved. So don't be afraid to write in to either credit, to talk about it or to.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And I man the email and the Instagram a little bit. Anthony makes the posts, but generally, if you send like a message or something, I'll usually be the one replying. So I'm not scary to email. Or at least no one from work's told me that. So I like to think I come across friendly in emails. So, you know, all you'll
and
get...
you only get to meet me in person or by video chat because I am completely devoid of all technology.
Yes. But yeah, if you email, then obviously I'm always happy to receive an email and always happy to chat with anyone who's interested in, obviously, the show. There's not much more we can say on this season. There really isn't. So I think... watch out for the couple of bonus episodes that'll be coming out over the winter and probably the spring. Watch out for Eurovision. We're going to be reviewing all the songs from Eurovision once again with the same lack of geography and the same patter as usual. Possibly.
At least you know who's in the Commonwealth this time.
Yes.
I don't know about that.
Possibly.
And we all have slightly better technology now, so we don't sound as rubbish as we did before. Well, some of us still speak rubbish, but... yes. Technology's improved.
Yep.
Possibly enthusiasm's improved.
And we're hoping to have a few kind of minor tweaks and changes coming into season 3, but you'll see that when that season drops. So for the last time on season 2, I'd like to thank you all for listening so much. As the guys have already said, you listeners are awesome. We always love hearing from you and we always love knowing that people are enjoying the episodes. And be sure to follow us on Instagram at songcraft.bid or song.craft.bid. First time I've messed up in ages.
He's done well with that. He's memorized the whole thing now.
And our email address is songcraft.bid@gmail.com. It's in the episode description. It's in the podcast description. Be sure to drop us a note. We'd always love to hear from you. I'd like to thank both my co-hosts. And
we'd like to thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for having us.
And I think there's no finer way to close out the season than saying so long and thanks for all the fish.